The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to depart this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done unto you. Very truly I say to you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this commandment, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. John 13, verse 34, the Gospel for this night. And what a night it is. I find it incredible in many, many ways. Now, I'm not going to go through all those ways. Years ago, I had a parishioner who said to me, "I never know where you're going, but if I hang on long enough, you get there." So I just need to let you know that I am going to wander a bit and go in some places. But the first place I want to start tonight is with the Lord's Supper itself and what's in the Gospel and the events that surround it. I find for myself that I'm often struck by the comparison between how God does things and how the world does things. I mean, think for a moment. If there were some beloved famous person, and it was at his retirement dinner, And he's telling them all these things that they want him, he wants them to know. And by the end of the evening, not only have they all betrayed him, you know, they've fallen asleep when he's gone out and asked them for things. I mean, do you seriously think that that would be preserved? You know, people would be talking about it and say, do you remember, I have a way to commemorate our dear friend. Well, why don't we get together this week, every year, and talk about how we betrayed him? You know, I mean, come on. And yet, that is exactly what we do on this evening. We come together and we talk about what our Lord had given us and how we had betrayed him. Now, I want to pause there for a second and talk about the new commandment. In the Old Testament, the commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The ethic for the Jews who had that commandment was to be as good a person as their God is a God. In the New Testament, what changes is when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, is that we are to be as good a person as our God was a person. Love one another as I have loved you. And I want to talk for a moment about the new commandment. I think oftentimes in life, some of us will think, aha, I've got this now. That's done. I don't have to do this anymore. You know? And yet, in this gospel, when Jesus talks about the new commandment, I don't think the disciples understand anything at this dinner, but especially do they not understand the new commandment. Because I think what the new commandment is and what Jesus is saying is it's going to be new every moment of your life. I was talking to a young man today and he was saying, asking him how he was doing. He says, oh, I'm taking it one day at a time. And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's a lot. I'm not sure I'm able to do that. I have to come in smaller doses. For me, sometimes it's moment by moment, not just one day at a time, but one moment at a time. And when I hear this gospel and say the new commandment, what I understand is new every moment, I'm to follow this commandment. And what I discover about it is that Jesus shows us simplicity. I'm not proud about what I'm about to tell you, but when I got out of seminary, I thought, wow, you know, I've got all this fresh stuff and I'm going to be doing great things, you know. I'm not going to be doing this kind of simple kinds of stuff, you know, that people have done years earlier or before. And I can't believe sometimes how arrogant I was coming out of seminary. And I mean, I had been, if you will, in the newspaper business. And I worked for a Washington newspaper. And it wasn't me personally, but I could pick up the phone and call anybody in the world, and within 15 minutes, somebody would be returning my call. It may not be the person I was calling, but someone would be calling me back and saying, you know, the person I'm calling is ready to speak to you now, or the person is unavailable, but they wouldn't ignore it. You know, I get in a parish and I discovered nobody was returning my phone calls. You know, doing great things indeed. And then at one point, I began to discover that the importance for me was to begin to do the things that I had thought unpriestly, not necessary, a waste of time. For example, I had a couple of people in the parish who asked me if I would go and visit their mother in a nursing home who had fallen into a coma. They just said, it's just too painful for us, but if you could go, Mike, please do. Well, you know, one of the luxuries of being a priest is that you have some time to do the most absurd things, absurd in the sense of the world. So what I would do is every day I would go and just sit down with this woman for 45 minutes, and I would hold her hand, and I would talk to her, and then I'd get up and leave. And then one day, I walked into her room, and her eyes were open, and she had this huge smile on her face. We had never met, but as though she knew that I had been there through this whole coma. Called the family, said, you know, go see her now, because time is short. The simplicity of washing the feet. Jesus doesn't call us to great things, and the new commandment is that each person we meet at every moment has some need, some way to be touched or embraced or cared for. When I first came to the homeless shelter in Baltimore, I had a young woman who came to work with me who was a Lutheran volunteer, was paid the grand sum of something like $93 a month. She got room and board, but that was it, and the $93 was to be for the rest of the things. And so I immediately made her a case manager. And the interesting thing was, we give out medication every morning and every evening, and she would come in, and she started coming in earlier each morning, because what happened was that the residents waited until she arrived, because receiving medication from her, those 2 minutes were the best part of their whole day. That she would take some time with them. It was so like, hi, it's good to see you. I hope you had a good night's sleep. I hope everything went well and all. And then she would just say to them sometimes, oh, by the way, I see you're taking a new medicine here. Do you know what that's for? And she'd take, they would line up and say, no, I'm going to take medicine from anybody else. Here's this child, could do nothing for them financially, but the wealth that she brought to them emotionally. And feeling that they were cared for and loved. Okay. Jesus gets down and washes the disciples' feet. Very simple, humble kind of thing. You've been out on the road all day. I'm sure you're tired. You know, why don't you sit down and let me wash your feet for you? You know? Just a very simple gesture. And he tells the disciples, do likewise. Love one another as I have loved you. But what happens? You know what happens. Peter goes out, and I think when Peter goes out, Peter doesn't go to see what happens to Jesus for Jesus' sake. Peter goes out to see what happens to Jesus for his sake. He wants to know, what are they going to do to Jesus, because I need to know what I need to do in order to escape or warn the others. And he doesn't realize that till later. But as you know, we go through the season now. We will, right after the resurrection, where are the disciples? You know, they're in a room behind locked doors a week after they've seen the risen Lord. Yeah. And so seeing the risen Lord, they go out into the world, right, and start following the new commandment, new every moment? No. A week later, they're still behind locked doors. And Jesus appears to them again. The new commandment was not something that happened once and for all in their lives. It is the kind of thing that happens every moment. And I think the getting it, so to speak, is for the disciples was when they realized that. Said, I'm not changed once and for all. I need to do this every moment of my life. And it was then that they were able to go out into the world loving one another as they had been loved. And the last thing, if you're still with me, having been through all of my ramblings, are the betrayals and all of those things that went on that night and the denials and everything else. When I was ordained a priest, I was hoping, almost, I mean, this is again embarrassing, but that some people who had known me would not be there at the ordination service to say, "Why are you ordaining this guy? You know? Why him?" And I think that one of the things I get out of this gospel tonight is that all of us are in the position of the disciples. I can't speak for you, but at least in my life, there are times when I have betrayed the Lord. Don't make any excuses for it. I mean, I could say, you know, I was just young and all of those things, but it happened. Yeah? And I'm not proud of it. But you know, the miracle is that I stand before you. And so that's what I, tonight, and that's what I take out of this gospel, is that Jesus says, once you've joined me, all that past doesn't matter. That's done. You have a new life, and you can live that new life by, in this moment, saying to the person who's nearest you that I will look for Christ in you and serve him as he has served me. And I will do that sometimes, maybe given to us in terms of great things, but mostly, I think, in terms of simplicity. You know, a gentle touch, just a word, a smile, a pat on the back, something that says, you know, how are you? I really, and meaning that I really care how you are, you know, and I want what's best for you, and I know I can't make that happen. And being able to do that as new people, whose past lives are not reckoned up against us, but wiped clean. So on this night, we are invited to the new commandment. Loving one another, not just in terms of some kind of abstract, but every moment of our lives. And now I tell you a secret. When that happens, the reward is absolutely enormous. It is so much greater than what I've given. I used a very simple story earlier, but I will tell you, I will never forget the smile on that woman's face. It did more for me than I ever could have done for her. And it just made me say, God, I am so glad that I was here and able to share this experience. Good Christian people, on this night, let us follow the new commandment. Let us love one another as Christ has loved us, moment by moment by moment.